Blog Talk Radio.
Smoke News Radio Podcast. Welcome to Smoke News Radio 2020 with your host, Jason Brodsky.
Hello, thank you. You've tuned in to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Let's jump into this tonight. We have from the New York Post, Biden hopeful Brittany Grenier will be freed, says he's working hard on it. President Biden said Friday that he is hopeful that Russia will free women's basketball star Brittany Grenier, who received a 9-year prison sentence Thursday for marijuana possession. I'm hopeful we're working hard, said Biden, whose administration has reported floated swapping notorious arms dealer Victor Bout for Grenier and fellow jailed American Paul Whelan, who Russia alleges was working as a spy. Grenier pleaded guilty last month to possessing a small amount of cannabis oil when she was detained at Moscow's Sheremetyevo Airport in February. She said that she was packing in haste and forgot it was there. The Biden administration has described Grenier as wrongfully detained. He's the president. He has to feel hopeful, right? This is something that is important to him, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said Friday, urging viewers not to read into Biden's remarks. As president, he's doing what presidents do. Their families are watching, are listening to everything that we're saying. It's important to give them hope. Grenier was arrested 1 week before Russia's February 24th invasion of Ukraine, which prompted harsh economic sanctions from the U.S. and allied countries. Grenier's wife, Cheryl, faulted Biden's initial response, saying last month that the president's silence was disheartening. The president and Vice President Kamala Harris later spoke with Cheryl Grenier about the case and promised to help. Grenier has been named a WNBA All-Star 8 times in her career with the Phoenix Mercury. Her plight has gained international attention. Her teammates on Thursday held a moment of silence before their game against the Connecticut Sun. The President Biden said he is hopeful that Russia will free basketball star Brittany Grenier after she was sentenced to 9 years in prison for marijuana possession. Another U.S. citizen jailed in Russia, Mark Fogel, 14-year sentence in June for possessing what he said was medical marijuana. The United States government hasn't included him in the proposed prisoner swap. Support for Grenier has irked marijuana activists who note that Biden has yet to honor his 2019 campaign pledge to free everyone in federal U.S. prisons for pot crimes, which he can do using his constitutional clemency powers. Tom Angel, marijuana activist and journalist, tweeted, I really hope Grenier can get free soon, but it's plainly absurd on its face that the American president is willing to trade an arms trafficker for a famous basketball player while at the same time letting many other Americans rot in American prisons for cannabis. Come on, man. There are about 2,700 federal marijuana inmates, according to a recent congressional estimate, some of whom have life sentences. Of them is Pedro Moreno, 62, who distributed weed imported from Mexico from 86 to 96. Another federal inmate, Luke Scarmazzo, 42, has served 14 years of a 22-year sentence for running a medical marijuana operation in California. Biden is an opponent of marijuana legalization and, as a senator, authored legalization that sent some pot dealers to prison for life without parole. Last year, the White House fired at least five staffers who admitted to pot use. Outgoing President Donald Trump last year commuted the sentences of seven people serving life terms for marijuana, including two men who were given life without parole under the three strikes provision of the Biden-authored 1994 crime law. Biden said his administration is working hard on getting Grenier out of the Russian prison. Michael Peltier, a 65-year-old wheelchair-bound paraplegic released by Trump, was serving a life sentence for smuggling Canadian pot into Maine before both jurisdictions legalized recreational marijuana. He quotes, "President Trump, every day that I wake up in a comfortable bed in a beautiful home in Florida, surrounded by loving family, rather than the screeching sound of the PA system announcing another lockdown due to violence," quoted Peltier to the Post in April. "It breaks my heart knowing there are still people serving life without parole for cannabis. I hope Biden will free all pot prisoners because I personally know several people who voted for him based on that campaign promise alone. Marijuana is legal for medical and recreational use under state law in most parts of the United States, but American authorities still arrest more than 350,000 people in 2020 for pot offenses, according to the Federal Bureau of Investigation." Next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, we have from the TMZ.com, "Marijuana cloud shrouds Colombian town when cops burn 1.5-ton seizure." Hard to tell who's winning the war on drugs in a Colombian town that's now completely shrouded in marijuana smoke, and it's all because the cops lit up a huge pile of pot at the wrong time. Puff puff, no pass, Policia Metropolitana del Valle de Aburra, in full effect for residents of Bello, a suburb of Medellin, which of course is best known for a different drug. But we digress. This citywide hotboxing was set in motion 2 weeks ago when cops and soldiers started to seize weed from local dealers, eventually snatching up 1.5 tons of the sticky icky from the streets. Up in smoke and score one for law enforcement, right? Well, on Tuesday, some genius decided to torch the confiscated ganja without doing a weather check. Big mistake. Huge. When the winds shifted, the pot cloud started drifting over Bello And not shockingly, residents started reporting a tremendous smell of marijuana. Sounds funny, but officials reportedly had to evacuate several towers in the area while reassuring citizens there was no danger from fire. All right. Next, from pantograph.com on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, proposal would prohibit hemp CBD shops in Chicago from calling themselves dispensaries. In Chicago, a proposed ordinance would prohibit CBD shops in Chicago from advertising themselves as dispensaries in an attempt to distinguish them from state-licensed recreational cannabis shops. Licensed marijuana companies see the proposal as a way to keep unregulated competitors from confusing customers. Members of the hemp CBD industry see the move as another example of big cannabis trying to harass them to protect their restricted market. The measure by Brian Hopkins II would also ban CBD shops from advertising with the image of a cannabis leaf or bud, as licensed dispensaries are forbidden to do, or a green cross. Goes on. Some of these unregulated retailers are trying to masquerade as legitimate dispensaries. It's false and it's deceptive marketing, and it needs to stop. Charles Wu, owner of the hemp CBD grower and retailer Prescribed in Bridgeview, said he doesn't generally use the word dispensary, but at least one product he sells from an outside supplier uses a leaf logo, though the Chicago ordinance would not affect his business directly. Wu feels it's a sign of how the CBD industry as a whole is treated. He continues, "We feel it's harassment," said of the proposed law. "It's basically large companies trying to maintain their monopolies." The licensed cannabis market in Illinois is dominated by the owners of just 21 grower licenses that caused high prices and limited supply and helped perpetuate the illegal market. Illinois issues 149 new recreational marijuana dispensary licenses. The state also allows just 110 dispensaries, compared with hundreds of shops in other states with legal weed. On Friday, regulators released another 149 preliminary dispensary licenses, which are expected to open by next year. Licensed businesses have to pay high state fees and taxes and follow strict regulations such as laboratory testing and the type that CBD dealers generally do not face. Because those states were delayed by regulatory problems and litigation, because those state licenses, federal and state lawmakers legalized growing hemp defined as cannabis with less than 0.3% Delta-9 THC, the primary psychoactive ingredient that gets users high. The The most popular product derived from hemp initially was CBD, which doesn't get users high. It's been proven to help treat children with severe seizures, and proponents make a host of other claims that it reduces inflammation and pain, which are still being researched. Meanwhile, hemp processors have developed a string of other derivatives such as Delta 8 THC and Delta O, which are said to get users high with milder effects than conventional cannabis. A proposed state law to regulate such cannabinoids went nowhere with little publicity. The Illinois Department of Agriculture published a policy in March prohibiting producing cannabinoids from hemp, but retailers generally have continued to sell it unabated. Oof, here we go. Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. A lot of lights in my eyes. I just have the computer read it for us. Computer, read it for me. Actually, maybe I can. Hold on a second. I don't know. Just my lights and eyes are just, they're fun. It's fun to read it. I really like that. You know, that's good. So, okay. Export. Yeah. And then opens, downloads, open with, there it is, yay. I don't have all my extensions loaded, but I got another way I could do this. Just print the page as PDF. And hope it wants to open the way that you want it to. Ooh. Open. In Acrobat. But you don't have Acrobat. Well, the other thing does Acrobat. Read aloud. Click me now. Read aloud. Okay. That cable is... Actually, I'm not even using the internet for that. Thank you. You guys are so patient in the smoke news world. Because when you're trying to get things working, they're not always, like, work the way you want them to. And so you just got to keep hammering away at it. Get into the Chrome Web Store real quick. Get that, like, at real loud extension. Just trying to get the computer to speak for me. Yeah, there's like the ones they have like the icon that you're like, oh, I know that one. It's Chrome. But they're not as funny as I am. That's the only problem with them. They just lack the silliness. I'm silly, you know what I'm saying? I got the funniness. I had some good stuff to the commentary. So, it's not doing anything. What extension wants to work for me, in the time I can get it working, have all the other callers run away at extension. Yes, please. Yes, please. Yes, please, you may. Cannot read this website. How about can you read this one? Do you want to work properly the way I'd like you to? Okay, so, sweet. Okay, cool. I just got to grab a from the other sound box. Sweet.
She was packing in haste and forgot it was a marijuana cloud in Gulf Town. 2.8K, July 14, 2022, 7:47 a.m. Pacific Time. Hard to tell. So the Chicago ordinance would not affect his business directly. Bluefield, before those state licenses were delayed by regulatory problems and litigation, federal and state lawmakers legalized growing hemp defined as cannabis with
all
less
right,
than
you guys are awesome. I love it. Even like the Instagram Live, and I was like, my eyes are not
high.
Reading this. So please enjoy. Please enjoy. We'll keep this going. I hope. Keep going. Fine. Or start it all over again. Edit it out. What is it doing? What are you doing? Are you happy? Be happy. Play again. Play for me. You want to do it. Please.
Cannabis hyperemesis syndrome, or CHS, is counterintuitive. One study found that, on average, patients visited...
Don't give it away. Gotta give away the awesomeness. Okay. It's just getting things to work how you want. Okay. Burn that.
Meanwhile,
box.
Hemp processors have developed a string of other
there
derivatives such as Delta
okay.
THCPR,
thank you guys. Keep rocking.
Said to get users high with my
Smoke News Radio. And thank you for listening. I probably should just be doing this and then sleep while doing the broadcast and listen to it. But it's really fun to say some of these weird quotes these people say. But we'll see what whoever. Animatronics, his voice is.
Burned in mountainous areas in Tavik City,
Smoke
Public,
News Radio.
August 6, 2022, 9:29 p.m. TAV, UK City, Kalinga. Police found a marijuana plantation in the mountains of City Obinonse, Malinalwe in this city on Friday, August 5, after getting the information from a concerned citizen. The operatives of the Kalinga Provincial Police Office and the Philippine Drug Enforcement Agency Kalinga conducted a two-day operation called Oplin Lindel on August 4th and August 5th after the confirmation of the presence of the plantation in the target area. According to Col. Peter Tagtag Jr., Provincial Director, about 12,000 pieces of marijuana with a standard price of P2,400,000 were planted over 1,200 square meters. The raiders immediately uprooted the plants and burned them in the area. The operation was the result of a collaborative effort by local law enforcement partners and the public. The police, though, failed to get any lead on who the cultivator was in the plantation. Sign up to daily newsletter, http://. Cannabis hyperemesis and the cure that burns feature when chronic users of marijuana show up in the air with uncontrollable vomiting, physicians have a salve that can relieve their pain. Scientists aren't sure why it works. August 3, 2022 at a remote U.S. Army outpost in Afghanistan sometime in 2019, began to vomit uncontrollably. Medics gave him intravenous fluids and a drug for nausea. It didn't help. Unable to get the man's symptoms under control, the doctors had him medically evacuated to Bagram Air Base, which housed the most sophisticated military hospital in the country. There, Rory Stewart, a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Air Force and an emergency physician at the University of California, Davis, worked the patient up. The man kept vomiting and retching while Stewart's team conducted tests that proved inconclusive. His vital signs were normal. Scans and samples of his blood and urine showed no appendicitis, no kidney stones, just intestinal inflammation and kidney problems possibly caused by severe dehydration. Figuring the patient might have a particularly nasty viral infection, Stewart admitted him to the hospital for observation and more fluids. U.S. Army A helicopter base U.S. Army paramedic team, like this one shown in training in Kuwait in 2018, brought Rory Stewart's patient from a remote outpost of Bagram Air Base. The flight was not without risk for the pilots and crew, Stewart said. A few hours later, Stewart received a call from a colleague who supervised the inpatient unit. Stewart recalls his colleague saying, "He's freaking the other patients out, he's making the nurses mad, and it's just so weird, he won't get out of the shower." Suddenly it all made sense. I was like, "Oh, God, are you kidding me?" Because I had dealt with these patients back home, Stewart said. He asked the nurses to collect a second urine sample. Unlike the first sample, this one was high in sugar and had the wrong specific gravity. It also, lab technicians observed, smelled an awful lot like the apple juice the patient had been served at lunch. By testing the original urine sample again, the technicians found exactly what Stewart was expecting, a high level of tetrahydrocannabinol, or THC, in the patient's system. The experience, which Stewart and a UC Davis colleague wrote up in the journal Military Medicine, was an unusually colorful instance of cannabis hyperemesis syndrome. The ailment afflicts a small subset of heavy cannabis users, causing relentless vomiting after exposure to the drug, the opposite of what most users expect. A widely used home remedy hinted a fascinating molecular crosstalk that physicians still do not understand. A paradoxical diagnosis. Just about everyone knows that cannabis can prevent nausea and vomiting, especially among cancer patients undergoing chemotherapy. So, cannabis hyperemesis syndrome, or CHS, is counterintuitive. One study found that, on average, patients visit a doctor's office or emergency room 3 to 5 times before they receive a diagnosis of CHS. These patients experience the worst of medicine, said Jeff LaPointe, an emergency toxicologist. Often in terrible pain, they go through many scans to rule out emergencies, such as appendicitis or ectopic pregnancy, and more slowly developing illnesses that require medical interventions. Before the vomiting starts, people often have weeks of stomach pain or nausea, both of which, like vomiting, could have any number of causes that must be ruled out. One Reddit user, interviewed by text for this story, said they knew more than one person who had had their gallbladder removed in a fruitless effort at resolving their illness. Perhaps that's why, by the time a doctor tells a patient that cannabis is the cause of their misery, patients rarely accept that explanation. They're using the weed to relieve the nausea. Stewart, the Air Force physician, said, "You rarely win that argument." Yet a core diagnostic criterion for CHS is that when people stop using the drug, their symptoms resolve. The particulars of pod and puking vomiting depends on a part of the hypothalamus called the nucleus tractus solitarius, which integrates many inputs. It connects to parts of the brain and peripheral nervous system that sense movement and position, chemicals circulating in the blood, and the status of the stomach and gut. It also takes input from the cortex, where higher-order thinking takes place. According to Vincenzo Di Marzo, a biochemist who studies endocannabinoid and cannabinoid signaling at Quebec's Université Laval, most of the neurons in the vomiting center and its chemical sensing trigger zone express the cannabinoid receptor CB1R. The most abundant G-protein-coupled receptor in the brain, it responds to signaling molecules called endocannabinoids. When CB1R at the presynaptic terminal of a neuron is activated, it makes that neuron less likely to fire at that synapse. CB1R also is expressed in the peripheral nervous system in the vagus nerve and enteric nerves that connect the brain with the gut. Found in marijuana, THC causes a user to get high by binding to CB1R. In animal models, that interaction also can make vomiting less likely. A second cannabinoid receptor, called the CB2 receptor, also binds to THC and endocannabinoids. CB2R is expressed mostly in immune cells, but researchers led by University of Alberta scientist Keith Sharkey reported in 2005 that this second set of cannabinoid receptors does appear in neurons in the vomiting center, and stimulating them also reduces vomiting. Why, then, does a frequent high dose of cannabis cause vomiting? Sometimes drugs produce exactly the opposite effect of what you'd expect, DiMarzo said. Because CHS mostly arises among people who have used cannabis at least once a week, often for years, and because cannabinoids tend to accumulate in tissues, there is reason to surmise that the syndrome results from desensitization of cannabinoid receptors, especially CB1R. desensitization through phosphorylation, arrest and binding or internalization is a common biochemical response to restore homeostasis after chronic receptor activation. Ethan Russo, a neurologist and founder of a cannabis-focused biotechnology company called Credo Science, said that any CB1R agonist can cause cannabis hyperemesis syndrome. For example, people using synthetic cannabinoids, which activate the CB1 receptor very strongly, can become ill even without taking THC. DiMarzo said that if baseline activity from CB1 receptors is necessary to keep the vomiting center quiet, then desensitizing those receptors could be a trigger for CHS symptoms. In recent years, marijuana products have become much higher in THC than they used to be, and experts suspect that change, combined with increasing state legalization nationwide, has spurred an increase in CHS cases since the condition first was identified in 2004. It's like if we were drinking Newcastles for 4,000 years, and then one day we decriminalized that and said, here's Everclear, it's the same thing, said Jeff LaPointe, the director of the Medical Toxicology Division at Kaiser Permanente in San Diego. A predilection for hot showers, the defense contractor in Afghanistan responded very typically to the treatments his doctors tried. First, he showed no response at all to the first drug to treat nausea and vomiting, or antiemetics that the doctors tried, an emergency department workhorse called ondansetron. Michael Mullins, an emergency toxicologist at Washington University in St. Louis, said, we'll often give it in the waiting room because it's so safe. A schematic illustration shows how cannabinoid receptors fit into synapses. When activated by a drug or an endocannabinoid signaling molecule, the cannabinoid receptor acts like a dimmer switch, reducing the chances that the synapse will fire. Bundles of neurons relaying messages from different sources to the vomiting center use different neurotransmitters and neuromodulators to communicate. Therefore, many antiemetic drugs can work in some instances but not others. According to UK pharmacologist Gareth Sanger, who helped to develop the drug, ondansetron works by blocking a group of serotonin-gated ion channels found in the vagus nerve, which connects the stomach to the brain. Although patients get no relief with a first-line anti-nausea drug, many experiencing CHS find that a hot shower can help ease their symptoms. The first case series that described the syndrome noted compulsive bathing as one of its patients' signature characteristics. Same degree of devotion to hygiene among other patients in gastrointestinal distress. As a medical fellow in New York, LaPointe treated some of the first people to arrive in city hospitals with synthetic cannabinoid poisoning. He also happened to have been writing a textbook chapter on cannabinoids. The juxtaposition got him thinking. Because hot baths work so well, but are an impractical treatment for emergency room patients, LaPointe said that many in his field were trying to figure out easier ways to help CHS patients warm up. LaPointe wondered, while mulling it all over, whether TRPV1, one of the body's best-known heat-sensing receptors, might be involved in the relief that hot bathing can bring. Not long after TRPV1 was discovered, a finding that earned the 2021 Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine, scientists had shown that TRPV1 is also part of the endocannabinoid system. The receptor binds to the endocannabinoid in Andromeda and to a number of botanical cannabinoids, although not THC. LaPointe still remembers the first patient he tested the idea with. She was an 18-year-old who used cannabis concentrates known as dabs. She had been in and out of the hospital around 5 times in the past week. She arrived in such pain that her screams proceeded her down the hall. LaPointe found a woman security guard and sent the patient to the doctor's shower to get the pain under control. The remedy worked, but as the patient waited for her ride to arrive, her pain came back. LaPointe suggested an off-label application of capsaicin cream. The cream, which uses a molecule from chili peppers to provoke a sensation of heat by activating TRPV1, was safe and widely used to diminish arthritis pain. Look, no one has ever done this before, he recalled telling her. I wouldn't ask you about this when you're screaming in pain, but now you're just mildly uncomfortable. The patient was game, and the cream, applied to her abdomen, seemed to help. It was a breakthrough, LaPointe said, to have an over-the-counter medication that someone could take home and be functional. LaPointe reported at the 2014 North American Congress of Clinical Toxicology that applying capsaicin cream to the bellies of 7 patients with CHS resolved their symptoms. Presented with a remedy for these patients, who were otherwise difficult to help, other emergency toxicologists tried it too. Mullins at WUSTL and colleagues published a retrospective case series in 2017 showing that almost all of 13 patients who had received serotonin antagonists to no effect improved after using topical capsaicin. But some colleagues found the concept dubious, critiquing the lack of a plausible mechanism of action. A team at the University of Virginia currently is conducting a clinical trial comparing the effects of capsaicin to a placebo. The investigators expect to complete the study this year. Capsaicin is by no means the only treatment toxicologists have tried out for CHS patients. The medical literature has a long list of case reports wherein doctors describe testing an antiemetic in one or a few patients with CHS. When capsaicin isn't available, like at military hospitals, which rarely see arthritis patients, physicians can imperidol or haloperidol. That's how Rory Stewart treated his patient in Afghanistan. Within 2 days of starting IV fluids and haloperidol, the man left the hospital. Dopamine antagonists have their drawbacks. They can sedate a person, making it unsafe to send them home from the nearby car, and they carry a risk of cardiac side effects. Still, Mullins called droperidol one of my favorite drugs in the whole wide world because it almost never fails for nausea and vomiting. Between capsaicin and droperidol, some emergency physicians see the CHS problem is solved. Still, questions linger around the disease's pathophysiology and its unusual treatments. Many cannabinoids, many receptors assuming capsaicin works as well in a placebo-controlled trial as emergency toxicologists think it will. One question is why activity of its target TRPV1 is important. TRPV1 is expressed both in the vomiting center in the hypothalamus and in the vagus nerve, and its ligands tend to reduce vomiting in animal models. Vomiting, that's a side effect of chemotherapy. But according to DiMarzo, researchers don't know whether its activation or desensitization is driving a reduction in vomiting. In a review article on CHS in the journal Clinical Toxicology, researchers picked through numerous reasons that activating TRPV1 might be effective, perhaps the diverse blood flow to the skin to cool down, reducing pain in the gut. Perhaps its activation blocks the transport or release of neuropeptides from pain-receptive nerve fibers to the hypothalamus. Perhaps the pain from capsaicin simply overrides pain sensed in the gut. The endocannabinoid system is notoriously difficult to study because its many receptors overlap in function. Cannabis complicates matters further, with a cornucopia of closely related molecules, each of which affects several receptors. THC and CBD may be the best known and the most abundant active compounds in a cannabis leaf, but they are two among many, including cannabigerol, cannabidiolic acid, and dozens more. Several of those secondary cannabinoids, as shown, are also TRPV1 ligands, although none seems to open the channel as strongly as capsaicin does. Different strains of cannabis and different preparation methods can alter the cannabinoid profile of a dose of smoke, edibles, oil, or dab. According to University of Pennsylvania structural biologist Vera Moisinkova-Bell, cell signaling may be disrupted at several points by the presence of a high concentration of cannabinoids. Cannabinoids are hydrophobic. They're at home embedded in the plasma membrane, where they can slip into binding pockets buried in the transmembrane domains of many receptors. As membrane-spanning protein structures have become easier to study thanks to new biophysical methods, researchers have been able to zero in on how cannabinoid receptor interactions work, and even have begun to probe how cannabinoids alter receptors' interactions with other ligands. Working with the ion channel TRPV2, Moisinkova-Bell and her lab recently published a structural study that showed exactly where CBD and the channel's canonical ligand 2-ABP bind. The lab also found that when they both bind at the same time, they produce a stronger rush than either alone. Cannabis plants produce many natural products in the cannabinoid family. These are a few of the most common. While closely related, the cannabinoids may exert different biochemical effects. Whether CBD could boost capsaicin activation on TRPV1 in the same way is not known, Moisinkova-Bell said, but such drug-drug interactions are possible. To sort out which cannabinoids are important in the development of CHS, Rachel Whiteman, an emergency physician and medical toxicologist at Brown University, is conducting a mixed-method study. It's the only study of CHS that the National Institutes of Health currently is funding. Whiteman's research team is recruiting patients who arrive at the hospital with presumed CHS. They draw blood for metabolomic testing to compare the presence of cannabis metabolites when patients have symptoms to when they do not. They also are looking to understand the patterns of the disease and cannabis use practices through surveys and interviews. Severe vomiting arises. How do patients feel about the care they receive and the recommendation that they stop using? Another salient question is what differentiates people who develop CHS from peers who use a similar amount of the drug but never become nauseated? After running a small genetic study comparing 28 people who were experiencing CHS to a dozen who never had it, Ethan Russo and colleagues at Credo Science identified a group of genetic variants that appear enriched among people with CHS. They found single nucleotide polymorphisms in genes that code for enzymes that break down cannabinoids and farther afield, including two genes involved in dopamine signaling, a lipid transporter protein, and a non-coding region of the genome close to the TRPV1 gene. The study identified correlations only, leaving further causal explanation up to future research. Russo's company has begun to sell a genetic test based on those findings, but the Food and Drug Administration has not evaluated its ability to screen for a predisposition to CHS. Impractical for the clinic. While capsaicin may be effective, that he sometimes sees patients who write on intake forms that they have a capsaicin allergy, either to avoid a burning belly or in hopes of securing stronger painkillers. I've come across patients who are like, oh my god, I hate that capsaicin. Whoever thought of that, I'd like to get a hold of them. LaPointe said, I'm like, bro, it was my fault. They usually laugh. Because his hospital in San Diego, craft beer, craft weed, sees so many patients with CHS, LaPointe said, he spends some time educating fellow physicians in how to help don't miss a serious surgical emergency. Don't blow this off as just cannabis hyperemesis. Don't keep scanning them, and don't get them started on opioids. Other than that, there's a lot of room for style. While the medical literature is clear that the only way to stop experiencing CHS is to stop using cannabis, LaPointe said, he often counsels patients to use a lower THC formulation, advice they may be more likely to follow. When Stewart last saw the defense contractor in Afghanistan, he was in good shape, recovering from days spent vomiting with no ill effects that seemed likely to last. Stewart never did hear what became of the man, who admitted in a roundabout hypothetical fashion to having used the synthetic cannabinoid spice to elude drug testing. Stewart said it's likely, though, that the man's employer sent him back to the U.S. Enjoy reading ASBMB today. Become a member to receive the print edition monthly and the digital edition weekly. HTTP URL. Marijuana plants valued at over 1 million pesos uprooted burned in 4 Benguet plantations published July 26, 2022, 9:34 p.m. by Commander Rizaldi C. KIVUNGAN, Benguet, over P1 million worth of marijuana plants were destroyed and burned during the two-day operations in Kibungan, Benguet. Benguet Provincial Director Call, Reynaldo Posiwan said personnel of 1st Benguet Provincial Mobile Force Company discovered a total of 4 marijuana plantation sites while conducting a patrol on July 23 and July 24 in the mountains of Barangay Tacadang, Kibungan. 3 of those plantations are in Sitio Batangan and 1 in Sitio Dingding. In Sitio Batangan, the operatives were able to discover 3,760 pieces of fully grown marijuana plants, FGMJP, planted on an estimated land area of 380 square meters with a standard drug price of P752,000. Meanwhile, in Sitio Dingding, the operatives discovered 1,500 pieces of FGMJP planted on an estimated land area of 150 SQM with an SCP of P300,000. All marijuana plants were uprooted and burned on site. No one was apprehended during the raid while an investigation is ongoing to identify the possible cultivators.
Okay, guys. Thank you very much for listening to Smoke News Radio. I got Jack Johnson right here with the news. And she reads so much faster than I do, so I my words I stretch out quicker. Please enjoy, and if your belly hurts, you know, and you're smoking too much of the doja, you know, check look into that CHS. All right, have a beautiful night.
A billion people died on the news tonight, but not so many cried at the devil's sight. Well, mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see, so baby, close your eyes to the lullabies on the news tonight. Who's the one to decide that it would be alright to put the music behind the news tonight? Well, Mama said, you can't believe everything you hear. The diegetic world is so unclear. So baby, close your ears on the news tonight, on the news tonight. The unobtrusive tones on the news tonight. And Mama said, why don't the newscasters cry when they read about people who die? At least they could be decent enough to put just a tear in their eyes. But Mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see. So baby, close your eyes to the lullabies